Number five, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary technician application, Brian Carley. Dr. Byrne, you are the lead on this.
Yes, so Ryan Carley is the applying for a certified veterinary technician, take the exam, had a DUI in 2022, and ended up settling with some lesser charges in the initial charging, and fulfilled all the requirements set out. Had no repeat, his first offense, no repeat. So I would make a motion to approve his application to set for the CBA.
Second.
I would just like to add, for the record, I always feel, assuming he's actually telling the truth, but I always feel a little bit bad on these ones, where he was trying, I guess, in his way to do the right thing by pulling over, and then, man, you still get busted, and you're like, but. I know, I mean, I know what the law states, so, but just wanted to put that on there, so I appreciated his narrative, so. Okay, all those in favor of approving his, Ryan Carley's application, say aye.
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 Opposed, motion passes. The next one, Nikki is recused on, number six. And also, just as a reminder, some of the information provided in her letter, you know, just being careful, she provided a lot of personal information, so it's always like to make sure we don't discuss too much in the session, it doesn't need to be. So number six, board may review, discuss, and take action on reportable charge information submitted by Jennifer Press, DBM. Again, Dr. Byrne, who are the lead on this one.
Yes, so Jennifer Press, DBM was arrested or cited for DUI on the 12/30/2023. She did make her charge known to the veterinary board in a timely fashion, meeting the 10-day limit, which was proper. She did send off the additional information you guys saw yesterday that discussed a little bit more about her job status and just something about she was going to seek a leave of absence, and she'd been seeking some medical therapy on her own. So I don't know. I was leaning towards just having her update us when she had, I think her initial hearing is on like 1/25, which is I think next Thursday. Having her keep us updated when something became new with her case, but in light of some of the things that she reported in her self-reporting letter, that it might be good to reach out and have an update from her about her current status, leave of absence, et cetera, and by the next vet board meeting in February. Kind of my
and just technique. To note, this was not just a DUI. This was an extreme DUI.
Oh, okay. Okay, is there any other questions, comments? Okay, so is that actually, we're just asking, we're just directing staff to have her keep us updated on her case and her employment, I guess. We don't need to do anything beyond that. Okay. Okay, number seven, board may review, discuss, and take action on updates regarding reportable charge. Gabriel Cox, DBM, Dr. Byrne.
And number seven, yeah, Gabriel Cox, DBM, reported that he's the report when he has new information regarding his current DUI case. He did report that he did not have any information to report at this time. So he did make a report of no information. So I would move towards every 90 days to make a report, or unless new development, obviously, if he gets a new development within that 90-day period, to make requests that you report to the vet board on that information.
Okay, sounds good. Next up, number eight, board may review, discuss, and take action on requests regarding the clarification of interpretation of ARS 32-22-42B pertaining to certified engineer technician application requirements for ARS 42-1001.02. This is for Rachel Hatfield. Frost, take it away.
Yeah, so when I first started looking at this, I got myself a little bit confused, and then I realized it was another country. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
So anyways, why'd you leave New Zealand?
Yeah, it was very impressive. So once I got my bearings, I was very impressed by the courses and the comparison and the descriptions. There was some of the things she said that she didn't have, but she did in our education. It just wasn't from the same place. So I would make a motion as far as the equivalency approval for the interpretation as requested for Rachel Hatfield.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right, next up, board may review, discuss, and take action on legislative bills. Let's keep in mind, we're doing so good on our time here, and these are still in kind of the early stages. So Victoria, why don't you take it away and kind of tell us what your thoughts are, and then we can direct you.
Sure. For the interest of time, I didn't plan to go over any of these except one in much detail, and that one is 9F, the draft. It's tentatively titled Veterinarian Board Complaints Records Specialist. We knew that this bill was going to come. I assume it's going to be sponsored by Senator Kavanaugh, but I would like the board to discuss this, and perhaps, if so inclined, to direct me and perhaps Ms. Crager to engage with members of the legislature regarding this bill. There are certainly concerns of removing the CVT from the board. I know that this was something that was long sought after for, you know, quite a period of time, and we all recognize the importance of that person on the board. So if you could kind of expand on that. The other piece of it is a part of that I find would be difficult to actually carry out, about getting a list, a quote unquote list of a specialist who are going to volunteer their time to be consultants on any case involving a specialist. Logistically, we don't know who the specialists are. They're not required to tell us. We don't have that. I mean, certainly I could create a list by doing my own research. But you know, what's the reality of getting a specialist to take the time out for free to opine on different cases? And this requires them to actually come to board meetings and IC meetings. So if you'll talk about that and what your thoughts are with that. What else? Other pieces of it? The others?
No anonymous complaints.
The other pieces of it aren't that troublesome. But if you just discuss that with amongst yourselves, so Jessica and I could have some language, you know, to know what your thoughts are when we go talk about this.
Okay, I know when he gives up his paycheck, you can ask a specialist to give up theirs. Oh, shouldn't tell him that? Okay. I can't. I won't be able to.
Well, you are right now.
We always discuss too, one of the issues with having this person provide this expert opinion is the fact that we all, 9 of us, all have an individual vote. And I think we always, you know, if this person comes in and they say, well, here's my take on it. Where does that fit then in our, are we then to defer?
Are we bound?
We have to go by what this, specialist,
I don't think it needs to be legislation, because I think we already have access to those people if we need them, don't we? Can we subpoena somebody to come in, or hire an expert witness to come in? I mean, we just don't do it a lot because we really don't need to a lot. So that should tell them, and that should be some evidence, something that we could take to.
And we're getting back to also what is the standard not at a specialty level, and
but that's
something.
That's a reasonable argument to take back to him and say, look, we can already do this.
This is where it can be a little bit difficult, when you're, talking to folks that don't have the background, the board does and the vets, as far as what is the standard of care?
Even know that we can get that expert if we need to anyway. And the fact that we don't means that we haven't had to. We haven't made it to.
Right.
and he's listening to, you can also, it's too bad you can't order a psychiatric report on the three people that he's listening to the most. Because that is ridiculous.
So are your feelings, you know, once it gets assigned to a committee that, you know,
don't even negotiate with Kavanaugh, don't even try to have the conversation, go around him, to whoever's chairing that committee, and kill it.
Go to TJ's show.
And did I read that?
Hire.
Hire.
Correctly, a specialist or CDT? Is that what
that's? I know, right?
Yeah.
Right. So they
want
to get rid of the CDT
designated board. And then have a CDT that's possibly consult.
Yes.
Because the meeting we had, we told them this is going to be impossible to get specialists in to do this. They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And you tell them kind of we don't need it, but they're not going to do it. We're not going to be, it's not going to happen. So I think they threw in here, well, if you can't get a specialist, then we'll send a consulting CDT.
And isn't there also a section that says that if you can't do this in a reasonable time,
you don't have to do it.
So then what? It's a reasonable time.
It's pointless. And the other issue I have with it, a specialist, well, what about a medicine case?
Well,
so do we have to have an internal medicine specialist
in
every medicine case?
Does he know how many different specialties there are? And that, like, if you wanted to have somebody, you'd have to have 15 different specialists to act?
Or more.
To adequately represent specialists? Like, those would be the things that it just makes more sense that if we have a specific case, we go out and find that specific type of specialist instead of putting one on the board that then can't cover all the other areas.
But at least they're no longer suggesting that they're actually a member of the board, and I will have to say that at least gives me a little, you know. So again, this is just a person that is going to, you know,
advise the board.
So, but again, that's where I say if they're not even a voting member, so then they give us their opinion, and then, you know,
it's like we get from the psychobabble. Well, you know, we use them as a guide. We aren't bound by them, but we use them as a guide.
They started out wanting them on the board.
Yeah.
Now they realize
That's not a good idea.
That's probably not going to happen, so this will be what we'll go with now, because they're being directed by an agenda.
Right.
And it makes no sense.
Right.
It makes it almost putting a burden on the board, because it's an unworkable request.
Well, and
could you imagine conducting our meetings with specialists? And, oh, we better get a specialist in. Well, we better go to a specialist.
We'd be pending over half of our cases.
How would we operate?
Well, and what specialist is long going to speak on behalf of their peer?
Well, right, this is it.
Because this is a small community, really. Like, when you take, like, the dentists, you know, like, there's not that many of them. They're not going to want to be the one going, well, you didn't do that right.
Right, but this is not their case. You know, this wasn't their patient, nor are they the responsible party. I just can't see why they would voluntarily want to participate.
We do have the, if you want to put it in the law, it's never going to work. It's never going to happen. And if you can't find one, every one of ours is going to be some report saying we tried to find one, we couldn't find one.
Right, right.
That's what it boiled down to.
And I think it was already mentioned, when you start referring to specialists, they're going to work at a different level of care than what we're actually upholding the people in front of us to. So there's many different ways of treating a situation, and they're going to go with the absolute ivory tower highest level, and that's usually not what we're presented with. So does it mean that those individuals that aren't practicing at that level are incorrect? No, it means that there's different ways of doing it, and now you have a specialist saying that it would potentially be wrong, or giving their feedback on it, and how does that look then to the complainants when they're hearing that this was the correct way to do it, or the only way in that specialist's mind, and then here we're saying that, well, no, it's not. So then it kind of
Makes us look, you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Well,
they kind of came up today with the
which could be exactly what they intend.
You know what I mean? It's like,
because this is one step.
This
this owner felt like he should have diagnosed that, he should have known that this was a special.
Dr. James, I don't want to talk about any particular case, sorry.
Well, or, and I mean, I guess you could use any example of cases, they're not often, but when you have a specialist in, are they really held to a different standard? In our statutes, there's nothing that says that, but to the public's eye, I think the public would say, yeah, I'm paying for my pet to go to a specialist. They better know more about surgery or internal medicine than the average Joe veterinarian. But there's not anything in the statutes that say that.
I mean, our practice act says that if it would elevate the patient's care to make a referral, that doesn't say what happens after that. So you can't really apply the practice act differently.
Right, the specialist can't determine the standard of care.
Okay, well, so and I point of order, I think we should move on because this is something we really can't, you're trying to argue with somebody who's not capable of having a logical argument. There is no logical answer for this because this is not a logical proposal. It's three insane people who have got somebody's ear and they truly have a mental disorder. I mean, I'm not making this up. I don't have to have a psychiatric degree to make that determination. We know that from what they've said and done in this room and the other room. So we know that. And because he's listening to them, you can't try to argue with logic. The thing is to kill it going around you. Kill it going around you and don't try to make an argument. Because arguing with a fool just makes you look foolish.
And I've got some comments on some of the other bills. On HB 2100, it's, does that exclude AAVSB info? Because we get reports from other states on licensing status, etc., that it says we can, I mean, that it would prohibit us from using that system, and does the onus then fall on us to disclose the AAVSB's information? On 2187, I didn't have a whole lot, it's just all about false advertising. 2312, I think this will be an additional burden on staff for sure, that all letters of concern, and we do issue a few, and advisory letters, any non-disciplinary action has to be posted to the website. I think they're all a little bit far out.
Okay, is that what you needed, Vicki, for that?
I would appreciate if the board would specifically maybe vote to direct myself and Jessica to engage the legislature regarding any applicable bills that the board's discussed, specifically the one related to changing the composition of the board and the specialists.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, number 10, Executive Director Report, Fiscal Year 24 Executive Budget.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the executive budget came out last week. You may remember that in our budget request for FY25, we asked for approximately $86,000 in different initiatives. About half of that was ongoing funds moving forward from year to year. We, like almost every other agency, did not get funded for anything. So unfortunately, that is a setback on many different things that we wanted to get done and move forward to modernize the agency as well as how the agency works. Yesterday, as part of the executive budget, it was brought to my attention by the JLBC that our fund is being swept by $1.3 million. As are many other boards to deal with the overall state deficit. So the executive budget recommends that amount be swept to go to the general fund to deal with that. Because I just got it after 5 o'clock yesterday, and today we had the board meeting, I haven't had a chance to run the numbers. But we did have a healthy balance of approximately $2.35 million in cash. So if you take $1.3 million out, that leaves us with a little over a million. The thing that I need to confirm with the governor's budget office is that they understand that we are basically operating on a two-year cycle where most of our money comes in 1 year. And while the 1 year looks like we make a lot of money, the other year we have very low revenue. So that needs to be taken into consideration.
It's interesting that we can't spend the money things we think need to be done with the agency, but the state can sweep it.
Yeah, it's in my time here, it's always been, you know, threatened that sweeps would occur.
Yes.
But this is the first time that I've seen it actually going. But it appears that they're leaving us at least enough money for the rest of this year and part of next year.
Part of next year.
As far as I can tell. Hopefully it's enough. So that's all I have about the budget, unless anybody has questions or comments about that.
I asked, I have one, you know me in budgets.
Yes.
I have one quick question.
Sure.
On the performance measures, you show the number of annual investigations declining. And I was curious as to why, but the average number of days for receipt of complaint the resolution was getting longer. I know that those aren't exactly correlated together.
The Auditor General's office requests that all agencies finalize investigations within 180 days.
Okay, so you just use
so
that max.
That's where that comes
okay, cool.
from.
Okay.
That's where that comes from.
How about the annual investigations? Saying we're going to have 25% less in 2024 than we had in 2023.
I will have to get back with you on that. I guess I have to look at my notes from August when I created this. Good question.
Thank you. Okay. Budget analyst.
Thank you. And then next up is the American Association of Veterinary State Boards, the board members.
So this is just a call to, does anyone who hasn't been to this particular training like to go again? It's in the spring. People like, has everyone gone to Board Basics and Be Gone?
Board Basics and Be Gone? Yeah, I've done it. I did it virtually.
Okay. Dr. Thompson, did you go?
I did not because I had COVID.
Okay. She tried.
We had tried. Signed
up. Right. Yes. So do you want to try again?
I'm already booked out.
You're booked out?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then that's all I have then. Thank you.
Okay, review and approval of minutes. We've got the December 13, 2023 regular session. Ms. Frost and Dr. Byrne were absent, so they'll be abstained.
I move to approve the regular session minutes.
Okay,
second.
Motion and a second to approve regular session. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. 7/13, 2023 executive session minutes. Same people abstain.
I move we approve the December 13 executive session minutes.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Who wants to do the consent?
I move to approve the consent agenda, removing A7, A14, A16, A19, A21, B2, B13, and B1.
Second. Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Mr. Logan, I'm going to jump in just to change one thing. So on the vote to approve pending inspection and compliance, it could just remove D1 because we want to talk about D1 separately.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I move we approve, vote to approve pending inspection and compliance A16 and A19.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I move to vote to approve pending compliance A14, A21, B2, and B13.
Second. Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I vote to remove and take no action on A7. Remove.
Okay. Second. Motion and a second.
D1?
D1, and Annalise will describe the discussion of D1.
So we got a new crematory application for Lakey Crematory out in Somerton, Yuma area. And Victoria and I had a conversation with him right before the application was put in. He has, his freezer is at a second address. And during the conversation, Victoria pulled out the rules and statutes and went over the definitions of a crematory. And it states that a crematory is where the retorts are and the body's processed, and then what a crematory has to have, which is cold refrigeration. We advised him that under what we read, that there needs to be a cold storage at that address, and he stated that's not what he has. So I have an inspection with him on Monday, and he does have a second location in Yuma. His crematory's in Wilton, and yeah, I just don't know what, no, I just want your guys' thoughts.
Can you talk about the concerns about why he's driving them around?
Yeah, so my concerns are, I guess, chain of custody, because it's just one more place you have to take a body. And is he taking as many, since he doesn't have cold storage at the crematory, is he taking a load at a time and then driving back the 25 minutes to the fridge while stuff is happening at the crematory, driving back, grab another load, that stuff gets done. So are the bodies really being stored cool for that whole time?
Is it work refrigerated truck?
Nope.
They're not required.
They're not required.
Refrigerated trucks, we wish they did.
No, but I mean,
if you were driving
between cold storage and crematorium,
in the summer in Yuma?
Yeah,
you're wishing it.
I've never been able to find a law or rule that points to them to be required to have refrigerated trucks. Most of them don't.
I wouldn't think that if their cold storage was off site. What I'm saying is if their cold storage was off site and the animal was kept cold in a refrigerated truck and they chose to do it that way, I'd be more apt to say, and I kind of understand it, than if you're taking from cold storage,
putting
them in a normal truck, and driving them
30
minutes. I see
what you're saying. So I don't know. The statutes say they've got to be in the same place, they've got to be in the same place. Its application
in
is
freezer,
denied.
Yeah.
It's denied. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't have, if you can put a furnace at one place and put a freezer right next to it.
Well, we're going to have questions about this place anyway as far as a fuel source.
Yeah, he stated the reason why he doesn't have cold storage is there's not an electrical source, but yet what runs the other appliances there? Looking at the past inspection, that was a self-inspection based because of COVID, his retorts do run off electricity, so I don't know what electrical source he's running those off of. His processor, his cremulator does run off electricity as well. So how are those things running if he doesn't have electricity at wherever he's doing this outside?
So we may be reporting back after the meeting about this. But we will need to
talk
about
this. Doesn't he have to pay a fee to have an inspector drive down there to do this?
Well, that's the application fee. It's $400. That's not specifically for the inspection.
Well, it's enough to pay your gas, right? Yeah, okay.
It does cover that.
Because it's going to be a waste.
But it sounds like at least some members of the board agree with our initial assessment that he should not have this off-site refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, unless that facility is also a crematory, not a licensed crematorium.
No, it's a storefront.
It doesn't have a crematorium unit.
I think it's where people actually bring their pets.
Yeah. So like,
it's an office.
Yeah, it's an office. It's where also he keeps his paperwork. But it also has cold storage there because, like he said, that he doesn't have ways to get electricity.
It doesn't all add up.
Yeah.
Report back on this one.
Yes.
All right, summary of current events. This is the time for the board chair and the member of the board and the executive director to give a brief summary on current events that affect the board. It is informational only. No discussion may occur. I would just like to acknowledge that this is Mr. Loheed's final meeting with us.
Yep.
Gosh, he's been, have you
been on the board 10 years now?
This is right at 10 years.
So let's save some of the discussions and whatnot for when we adjourn. Just wanted to, again, on the record state how much we appreciate his service and obviously all his years of being the board chair. So thank you. And with that,
Madam Chair, for the record, I would like to say that I think I have learned and gained probably more than I've contributed. And I really appreciate it. And I respect everyone, past and present, that I've had the opportunity to work with. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure to work with you, Jim.
And then if I could add one thing just for the board.
Probably leave.
Sure.
To be aware of, California just passed a bill, California SB 669. Which is kind of a light version of a mid-level practitioner. It really opens up the door of what an RVT is allowed to do, as long as a veterinarian is available via telephone. So there is a long list. So just putting that on everybody's radar that in California, I'm surprised, because that tends to be one of the strictest places to practice veterinary medicine. So just throwing that out there.
It's just for preventative health though, right?
They also have one of the more defined what an RVT can do, as opposed to most practice acts just say what everybody that's not a veterinarian can't do. So
it is ideally they can take a history, examine, administer vaccines, administer parasite control, emergency treatment for vaccine reactions, and then they can also register with the DEA so that they could have sodium pentobarbital to euthanize sick animals. But that's only if they're a member of, if they work at a human site or shelter, that piece of it. So,
okay.
Change is coming.
Good to know. All right. Call to the public. Do we have anyone to call?
Nope.
And we have no one here, so I don't have to read that long script. As future meeting date, next meeting will be held on Wednesday, February 21st, 2024. We're going to be here in this, we're going to be in boardroom B, it says. So it's going back to the other one.
Cool.
And we'll just be short, Mr. Hoagie. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Let's let Mr. Hoagie make that.
Oh,
I would move to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.